You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Off the stick of Thrun on the left point. He's going to have to backskate to center ice to get it. William Eklund banked it off the boards, and Toffoli spins it across the rink. Macklin Celebrini is giving chase as the rest of his teammates change. It's tipped in front. Eklund scores! Celebrini got to the puck first after that Toffoli dump in, and Eklund, seeing that, just drove the center lane. Celebrini putting it right on the tape, and Eklund gets it by to Smith. 1-0 Sharks, 1:25 into the game.
All right, we now have joining us on the Sharks Audio Network, it is Corey Priman of The Athletic. Corey, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming on. And, you know, obviously you spend a lot of time looking at the prospects out there in the NHL, and you recently had some very high praise for one Macklin Celebrini, putting him at the top of your list. And so I will start here. A lot of people have been surprised about Macklin's success up to this point in the NHL, looking as polished as he has been. Were you surprised, or have you been surprised up to this point?
I'd ask you, who are those people who were surprised by him out of curiosity?
Well, I'll put it this way then. There was a lot of talk that he was not on par with a Connor Bedard type talent. And that seemed to be the take, that the Sharks had a number one overall pick, but it wasn't that type of a generational talent. That was some of the talk that I heard.
Hey, you can debate what's generational. Can you have two generational talents in back-to-back years, or are they just both, you know, elite young players? And I think they are in different ways. Bedard with his dynamic skill and his scoring ability, but Macklin is just one of the best all-around young players I've ever seen. I mean, he's a guy who I think just is very good to excellent in almost every aspect of the game, and I think he has almost no noticeable weakness in his game. So no, I'm not really surprised, given just how skilled he is, but also just how competitive a player he is, how hardworking he is on the ice, how great a skater he is. I'm not really that surprised when you see how good he's been this year. I mean, he was one of the youngest players in college last year, and he dominated that level. To see him go up against men and hold his own like he has, be an impact player for the Sharks. You don't want to say a guy's going to be an impact player right away. That's probably, no matter who the player is, that may not always be realistic, but I'm not certainly surprised that he's been this good and that we are now discussing him with a guy like Connor Bedard.
Yeah, and the other thing that I often point about or talk about, to your point about them both being generational talents, is that's a good thing for the NHL. I mean, we would compare an Ovechkin and a Sidney Crosby for forever. I mean, you even look at a team like Edmonton, they've got, I would argue, two generational talents on the same team. I mean, this is what we have in the NHL. We have the best players in the world. It certainly feels like there's room for multiple generational talents.
Oh, for sure. And I think it'll be interesting to see how their careers progress. I mean, obviously they're on Team Canada going into the Four Nations right now, but there's a chance one of them is on the Olympic roster in a year from now, and it's not clear which one of the two it's going to be.
To that point, is there any danger in putting too much pressure at them at too young of an age, or is this just how it is when you're one of the best players and one of the up-and-coming players for Canada in particular?
Yeah, I don't know. Both of those guys were world junior players at 17, Bedard at 16. Both of those kids, going back to when they were 12, 13 years old, were already in the spotlight. They've been, they've had plenty of media training. They've had plenty of time to understand pressure and the implications of it. So I'm not worried about that. I think it's just more about seeing where they would fit on a roster. And I think you look towards that Olympic roster, I actually think Celebrini could fit in there better than a Bedard can, because I think Celebrini can actually be a fourth line or a PK type if they wanted. And if both of them could be power play types at that level. But I think Macklin has, a better case as it stands right now.
When you look at the talent around Celebrini right now, obviously he does get a lot of opportunities since the Sharks don't have a great number of weapons. What do you think he's going to be like when the Sharks are a little bit deeper into this process and they have more of the, you know, established free agents that I'm sure they'll sign at some point and more developed players around them? Does he become more of a facilitator, or is he still the aggressive, shot taker that he is at this point? I know in the game against Marc-Andre Fleury in the Wild, he had something like 16 shots, and there have been some other games with some high shot totals for him. And I don't know if that's what everyone expected from his game either.
mean, I think you look how I think he projects as not only number one center, but a tough minutes number one centerman. I think you look at what Sasha Barkov is for Florida right now. You look what Anze Kopitar has been over his career for the Kings. I think you're hoping that that's what he's going to be, that he's going to play the tough minutes, that he's going to kill penalties, that he's going to be on the ice in the tough playoff games for over 20 minutes, but he could still help your first power play. He could run the flank on a first power play and have a lot of success. He may not have speed. I think he has so many positive traits in his game that I absolutely think he's going to provide plenty of offense, and I think he can easily be a point per game plus player in his prime.
When we see Will Smith, I've often made the contention that his biggest problem is that he's not Macklin Celebrini because he's constantly being compared to him in every single game. What do you see with Will Smith up to this point?
I mean, his skill and his vision are special. I mean, and that's why he went as high as he did in the draft. And that's why he was such a dominant junior and college players. He has so much natural offense and creativity in his game. He's not as well-rounded as Celebrini, so I think that's why his transition to the program has taking a little bit more time. He's not, he's not quite as competitive. He's not quite as fast or as physically imposing in the game at times. But he's a guy who's projected to be a first power play guy in the NHL, who's projected to have a lot of offense in the NHL. And whether he's a center or a wing, is he a first line wing on Macklin's line? Is he a second line center behind Macklin? I think either option you're excited about because I think he will get insulated to where his strengths will really shine and he won't be asked to take on too much responsibility and put in a role where he won't be successful.
I've seen him turning more defense into offense into his game. I guess for a young player, we talk about their game away from the puck oftentimes. The fact that that's happening for Will Smith, is that a good sign in your opinion that he is learning more about how the game works in the NHL? He's starting to see maybe those passing lanes and just the game slowing down for him a little bit.
Well, he's a teenager, so I think you don't want to be too harsh on a guy in terms of his play away from the puck as a 19-year-old in the NHL, turning 20 soon. And I don't know, he could still be in college right now. I mean, Ryan Leonard is in college still right now and having a great year, and everyone's praising his game. But if Will Smith was still in college right now, he'd be a 2 point per game player at the college level, and everybody would be hyping him up. I'm very excited by this player. I think he's going to have a very long and successful NHL career. And when the Sharks are ready to win, I think he's going to be a top six forward in that lineup.
We have looked at Yaroslav Askarov to a good amount with the San Jose Sharks this year. Not obviously as much as maybe some fans would want, but he's been up enough to where we've gotten a look at him. I have seen him be very, very dominant and have some great performances. I've also seen some very lackluster defensive performances around him because the Sharks just they're not a great team at this point, you may have noticed. But obviously, he's another one that we're looking at as one of those foundational pieces of the Sharks' future. Does he have the potential to be a guy who's going to be in the Vezina conversation year after year?
Vezina is a high bar. I don't again just I don't want to put unrealistic expectations on the guy, but I think he's got a chance to be a top 10, top 15 goalie in the NHL. I mean, his athleticism is freakishly good. Like it, you mentioned Fleury earlier in the conversation, and he has some rhymes of Fleury at times with just how quick he is. And the kind of elite level saves he can make, and also at times in the that he can look a little chaotic at times just because of how fast he moves in the net, and the game can get away from him at times too. But I mean, in the American League this year, he's just been outstanding. One of the more dominant American League goalies I can remember seeing in recent years. So he's a very exciting prospect. You can argue he's the best goalie who's not a full-time NHL goalie right now. And I think he's going to be a really important piece of the future there for sure.
What do you make of the Sharks' Shakir Mukhamudulin, who is one of the centerpieces of that Timo Meier trade? I've talked to a number of other people out there, and they say that, defensemen, it's a longer process for them to turn into their finished product. Also, he's got such a big frame, it seems like he's still filling out. What have you seen from him?
I think you're hoping he'll be like a good, 3-4 long term with the size and the mobility. I don't think he's a dynamic player by any means offensively. I think he has first pass offense in the NHL. Guy who could be steady, and you hope you don't notice him for good reasons throughout the course of the game because he's good on his retrievals, he breaks up plays. I think you're hoping for that, but I think, you look at defense and that is kind of the one area now in the rebuild that Sam Dickinson has just been outstanding in junior this year, the recent first round pick by San Jose. But that is the one area where it's outside of Dickinson. It's like, where is the impact young players at this position? There's an obvious name in next year's draft in Matthew Schaefer that will come to mind. And while I think Shakir Makamadulin can have a very bright future, I don't know if he would rise to that impact level like a Dickinson or a Schaefer would.
What about a Luka Kanyoni with the Barracuda right now, who is undersized? I think he would be
Yeah.
more of a traditional third pair guy, but his ability to lead a power play seems like it does have the ability to translate, I would hope, from the AHL to the National.
I think there's what he's showing through his play in junior and in the American League is exciting for where they got him in the draft. Because I think he was like a fifth round pick. And I think he looks like a guy who's going to play NHL games. And that in itself is a good thing. I know he's a player the Sharks are excited about. I think the size there is a significant hindrance. There's not a lot of full-time players in the NHL at that size on defense, but he is a very good skater. He thinks the game very well. So I think he has the components that it could potentially work out. And even if he isn't a full-time player, he will at least he can at least provide depth at that position and give them a young player who can play for them on the cheap. And maybe even give him a trade piece if a contender in 5 years needs a power play guy.
What about a Colin Graf, in your opinion, who the Sharks got? They had to spend a little bit to get him to come to San Jose, and obviously he got to play right away. But his story is that he grew somewhere between 4 and 6 inches after his draft year. Probably would have been a top 10 pick had he, been the same size. I see a lot of his game that I like. Obviously, his defensive work rate, I really appreciate. Battles along the boards really well. Parts of his game remind me of Logan Couture just because he has the two-way thing going. And we've seen some flashes from him that he does have ability, and I'm not trying to put the pressure that he will have the offensive upside that Couture does have. But I like his game a lot, and he's an interesting story because he was, you add 4 to 6 inches on somebody's frame that late in their life. I mean, that changes the entire dynamic, clearly.
I mean, I think he's a legit NHL prospect, even though he was undrafted and came into the Sharks organization as a college free agent. Every NHL team wanted him, and he in part chose the Sharks because there's some opportunity there. But I think he's got a chance to be a middle six wing in the NHL. I think he's very, very talented. I think his skill and his brain are excellent. He skates well. He can score. You mentioned the compete levels is there as an asset too. I don't know if he's going to rise to that level of a Couture like you just said, but I think he's got a chance to be a real player and a guy who can play in the lineup, score goals in the NHL, and be a contributing member of their team.
That compete level is something we hear a lot about with who Mike Greer is going after. Is that hard, the hardest thing to quantify when looking at some of these young players? Because the compete level might be there when it's a bit more of an unbalanced game like it is at the lower levels, but suddenly, when you're thrust into the American League or the National League, your ability to compete, you might be up against it for the first time in your career, and suddenly that not that the competitive fire isn't there, but maybe they're not used to running into a wall that often.
Yeah, I think you could try to balance it against the fact that you watch a lot of these young kids at various, major tournaments, showcase events, environments, their league's respective postseasons, environments where they're asked to elevate, where there's pressure, where there is a lot of eyes on them, and there's a lot of stakes in the games. And it's not the same thing as the NHL by any means. Competing well in junior is not the same thing as competing well against grown men. So you have to balance those things out. But I think you can get a decent idea at the lower levels. I mean, I tend to think there's a decent correlation between when you watch guys go into the draft and you see a guy like a Celebrini and his compete level just stands out at you. And it's not really a surprise when that's the case as well in the NHL.
Quentin Musty has had an odd year for what we would look at it as a prospect with the trade demand and then the hand injury. I like his game. What I've seen of it, I think that he has a little bit of sandpaper in particular to him. So I think that is something the Sharks need more of. What do you look at when you see Quentin Musty?
I look at a big man with excellent skill, And like I said, there is a little bit of physicality in his game. I think the biggest issue with Musty and why he was a guy who went in the late first as opposed to the high first is just there. I think there was some concerns on his pace, just how fast he moves and whether he makes plays quick enough for the NHL. But I think he has absolutely NHL power play ability between his hands, his vision, his shot are all excellent assets. He's big. He can create both from the perimeter at the front of the net. I think, I'd be surprised if he's in the NHL next year. I think he's going to need a year or two in the American League to adjust to the pro game, learn how to win battles at that level, learn to play faster. And then you're hoping in a couple of years from now, he's a guy who's playing a scoring role for the Sharks.
Things could change drastically for San Jose. Probably won't. So it means they'll have a very, very high pick in the draft coming up. Obviously, the Schaefer is the first name that's coming up when we talk about this, the San Jose Sharks and maybe the number one overall pick. Although, people have said it's not as deep a draft as previous years, which I always wonder about that because we don't ever really know until a few years down the line. But what are the names that San Jose Sharks fans should start familiarizing themselves with?
Well, Schaefer is the first name. He's an outstanding player. He's a big defenseman who's a high-end skater. He thinks the game at a really high level. He makes skilled plays. He competes really hard. Anytime you watch him, he just stands out every time he's on the ice. Reminds me a lot of guys like Miro Heiskanen and Jake Sanderson at the same age with the high-end two-way ability, potential to be a legit number one defenseman in the NHL. So I think he is a really, really exciting player, a guy who would go one or two in a typical draft. I think he is, he's not Celebrini, he's not Bedard in terms of like the special caliber of prospects, but I think he's got a chance to be a star caliber player in the NHL. Then the next tier, I wouldn't quite qualify like that caliber of player. I think there is a drop. And then there's, I think, a couple of fours that are really exciting. You have James Hagans, a small but dynamic, high-end skating, playmaking centerman at Boston College. You have Michael Mesa at Saginaw, who's a really good all-around centerman who's been arguably the best player in the OHL this season. You have Porter Martone, who's a big, highly competitive, highly skilled winger who's been having a big year. Caleb Desnoyer, who's been arguably the best player in the Q, big two-way centerman who has offense in his game. And Anton Frundell in Yrjågården, who's a very well-rounded center too. So I think, the Sharks are in a position to add either a really premium defense prospect like a Matthew Schaefer, or I think get a really excellent either two-way center or a big scoring power winger in a Porter Martone, and we'll see ultimately which direction they go in this summer.
Corey, I appreciate your time, man. I am a preacher of the gospel, that is The Athletic, and I will continue to do so, especially your work, and I hope I can bug you again soon.
Sure thing. Thank you.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.